Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. This morning we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper, and thus I've entitled my message, "I Will Sup With Thee," taken from verse 20. You know, the Lord's Supper is instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself on the night in which He was betrayed. And that He has used the bread and the cup to signify His broken body and His shed blood. And that He has given Himself for our sakes to sinners undeserving of His love and grace. But He has willingly come in obedience to the will of the Father, so that through the laying down of His life, through His personal enduring the wrath of God upon the cross, that you and I can have His forgiveness and have eternal life. And thus, you can be sure that Jesus Christ is ever willing to have fellowship with us. And the Lord's Supper is instituted as a means for us to share, not just only with one another, the salvation given to us, but more importantly, to share this life together as given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need not question His willingness to have fellowship with us, to have communion with us. But we need to question our own willingness each time as we come. Are we ever ready to have communion? You know, communion itself carries the idea as an act of sharing or instance of sharing. But it also has the idea of intimate rapport and fellowship. And so we need to ask ourselves, when we come, in particular, as to come to observe the Lord's Supper, do we come to enter to share this intimate fellowship with our Lord Jesus? Or do we hear Him calling unto us, "Come unto me and I will sup with you"? You know, He said this because believers in the church of Laodicea have in a way shut the Lord Jesus out of their spiritual life. And as it were, the Lord Jesus was standing at the door of the hearts of the believers, knocking upon it so that they could open their hearts to admit Him into close fellowship. So it is possible for us to come physically, to be in a congregation. It is possible to be present, to partake of the Lord's Supper physically. But yet, spiritually, we shut our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out of our lives. And thus, we missed out a great deal. So this morning, I just want to draw attention to this particular possibility that we may come only physically, but spiritually we are not here. Spiritually we are not in communion with our Lord and Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ being not physically present doesn't help us in this regard. You know, Lord Jesus Himself in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, after He has instituted while instituting this Lord's Supper, in verse 16 He told the disciples, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And in verse 18 He repeated, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And thus, He has declared to his disciples that he would soon depart from them. And so it is. And so it happened that thereafter he was betrayed and he went to the cross with great love, laying down his life for us. Now, even though he may not be here presently as a result, after his crucifixion and death on the cross, he rose from the dead and he rises triumphantly in ascension to the Heavenly Father, now sitting at the right hand side of God's throne. But it doesn't mean that he will not be with us. Spiritually, he will be with us. And that is what is of importance to each of us. You know, for us, it is not just the external that matters. I'm not saying that external behavior doesn't mean anything. It does. If you indeed have been redeemed from your sins, you would seek to express the life of holiness unto God. But more importantly is that coupled with our external behavior ought to be our spiritual intimacy, spiritual submission and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. And so this morning, as we consider the Lord's Supper, we need to ask ourselves, Jesus Christ is willing to sup with me. Am I willing? In what way have I shut him out of my spiritual life? And thus, I would like to turn you to this passage in Revelation. The communication of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church at Laodicea, trusting that this morning that the Lord himself will speak to you to help you understand in what way you have shut him out. Perhaps through the hustle and bustle of daily life, the struggle to make a living, the struggle to do well in this world, very often has burdened you down and weigh you down heavily. And often, more often than not, it has distracted you from your walk with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus himself is the best person to help us. For he declares to the church at Laodicea in verse 14, "And unto the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He declares his qualification. He declares himself unto the church to be the Amen. What does the Amen mean? Well, we use it very often. Just now, we use it just now after prayer. We didn't use it after the singing of our hymns. But anyway, well, the doxology we do. But the word Amen is a transliteration from the Hebrew word. In other words, the same sound in the Hebrew is given in Greek and now even in our English language. But the word signifies something is certain, something that is valid, something that is truthful or faithful. And so when he says that I am the Amen, in a way he is reiterating that he is the truth. But it also reminded us of what Jesus, what God has revealed in the Old Testament in Isaiah 55 verse 1. If you like, you can turn to it. If not, you just listen to what Isaiah 65. Okay. Verse 16. "That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten." Now the God of truth, the word truth is Amen in Hebrew. So here Jesus Christ is declaring himself to be God and declaring himself to be truth, and that this is further highlighted when he used the word, the following words, faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. So being God,
being the truth, being the faithful, being the certainty of things,
He has the ability and the quality to judge us and to search our hearts. And not only that, He has the added qualification that He is the beginning of the creation of God.
Here the beginning carries the idea of origin. He is the originator of creation.
Not only the creation that we now see, but He is also the originator of the new mankind. He is the first fruit of all the redeemed. And so, in that high position, He is able to search our hearts. And then He speaks, not so much in condemnation, but rather to encourage us, so that we can be pulled away from our straying and to return to His presence. So as we have considered His qualification as it is, and you hear Him say very confidently in verse 15, I know thy works. I know thy works. The works of the Laodicean church, similar to the other church at Sardis, are works that are incomplete and in a sense not worth mentioning. And you find that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say too much about the works. And He went on to show us the symptoms or the signs of a believer who has shut him out of their spiritual life. As we consider this morning, I would like you to honestly search your heart. Have you yourself not shut Jesus out? What is the first sign here? He says in verse 15, thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. It is Jesus Christ's desire that we should be hot, in other words, zealous, very committed, and very full of zeal and fire for Him, for the things of God. And thus you find that He either prefer you this way, or He rather that you are cold. You are cold, in other words, you are still dead in your trespasses and sin, and that the call of the gospel can reach out to you to turn you away from that terrible situation. But if you are in between, neither hot nor cold, you have already heard, you have received His grace, but now something happened to you. You become neither hot nor cold. In a word, indifferent. Indifference. Now, you find that it can stealthily come upon any believers, this spiritual indifference. Yes, especially those of us, you may be studying. For those of you who are studying, it's easy. For those of you working in the world, you are striving to get ahead, to make enough money for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones. Now, there's nothing wrong in it. But very often, such efforts in doing so somehow distracted us from our relationship and from our walk with Lord Jesus Christ. And very often, our fellowship with Him, our service for God, are but perfunctory services, very superficial. And here is something that we need to honestly search our hearts for this morning. You know, you cannot just say that, well, it won't happen to me. But if you were to find yourself struggle so hard every week, every day, and Sunday you drag yourself to church, and during the whole week, Jesus Christ and the things of God hardly feature, not only in your thinking, but in your daily dealings with life, with other people, with situations, you have set aside the principles, the truth, and more importantly, the power and the grace of God that would help you to deal with it. You have forgotten, and you just go on your daily life filled with resentment, unhappiness, anger, And instead of showing forth the power of God, delivering you from sin, you find yourself succumbing to sin so easily. And that is sad, isn't it? And that, after that, you come on Sunday, and you drag yourself to church. You find yourself hardly useful in the week. On Sunday, well, you find yourself struggling to keep yourself awake in the pew. Well, I trust that you're not doing so this morning. And may the Lord give you the strength and grace to just draw close to Him. So the first symptom is indifference. The next, what is the sign of a soul that has shut out Jesus Christ from their spiritual life? You can find it in the following words. No, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The next thing is pride or arrogance. You know, because the Laodicean said, because I'm rich and increased with goods. Indeed, the Laodicean church is situated or was situated in a city that is prosperous. You know, Laodicea itself became a leading commercial center in its time, and that it has increased in wealth and influence. And that during those days, that you find that the wool industry flourished, you know, in the city through the production and export of black wool and the manufacturing of common and costly garments have added to the wealth of the city. And on top of that, there is this invention of an effective eye salve. And so much so that there was a medical school that existed, and that they have become famous in their treatment of the eye and the ear, and in particular the ointment that have been invented to treat the inflamed eye. If only my wife had this ointment. The past week, both her eyes were red and inflamed, but she had a hard time. We had to go and buy some antibiotic eye drop, but it didn't really help. Maybe it couldn't compare with the eye salve produced by the Laodicean. But anyway, the Laodicean got rich through all these things. And that, how do we know? You find that in the 17th AD, there was an earthquake in the area of Asia Minor. And that many cities were devastated, and the Roman government had extended financial help to all these cities, and the Laodicean city was one of them. And they have received help and they rebuilt their city. That was in AD 70. But in AD 60, another earthquake happened. And this time round, the Laodicean city refused government help, government aid from the Roman Empire. Instead, they used their own money to rebuild the city, and on top of that, they have sufficient wealth or money to help neighboring cities to rebuild their cities. And so you can see that they were indeed in a state of wealth. Well, I have no way of knowing whether the Christians in the Laodicean church is rich, but I believe maybe quite a number of them are rich, or were rich. Well, just like some of the churches in Singapore. And yeah, in London too. You have rich members. And so, usually I would say, not definitely, but when you have wealth, you have riches and material prosperity, it is usually linked with spiritual indifference or apathy. But here in this case, it is pride. It is pride. And very often, when you have that, you think that you have no need of God because you are well provided for. But the sad thing is this, a believer, whether rich or poor, is totally dependent upon God for everything. For that matter, even the unbelievers, You may say that, well, Pastor, the unbelievers around us, they work so hard, they toil in the ground, they grow their crops, they build their buildings, they do everything. But do you know that the whole of creation is supported by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not for the grace of God, nothing can be held together. The rain, the sunshine, and all the other things, all the other laws that operate to allow the life to continue, is by virtue of God's grace and permission and God's power. So even the unbelievers, they do not acknowledge it. They are still dependent upon God. But for us, all the more so, we know Him. We know His grace. And we know that we are totally independent upon Him for everything. For food, for drink, for shelter, for homes, for protection, and for other things like spiritual joy, comfort, happiness, and many, many other blessings that comes from God. Now, a believer is in total dependence upon God. But when one becomes rich and have lost sight of this, and to think that they are now self-sufficient, and to forget God and His grace, that is pride and arrogance, to say the least. So this is a symptom or a sign of a believer who has shut Jesus out of their spiritual life. And when you come to the Lord's table, are you aware of this in your own life? Do you know whether you have this arrogance, this self-sufficiency? Or do you come fully aware that you are in total dependence upon the Most High God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ went on to point out one more sign for the believers to consider. And you look at verse 17. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Well, that is self-deception. There is a lack of self-knowledge of themselves. Now that is what happened to the Laodicean believers. They thought that they are rich, but they did not know that in actual fact that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Wretched because they have disregarded divine essentials. They are wretched because they may have riches of the world, but they lack riches before God. Riches that counts before God. As the Lord Jesus said to some people, that they were busy storing up treasures on earth, but they have not stored up treasures in heaven. You know, it is an important consideration that we work so hard every day of our life. For what purpose? What are you accruing or gathering for yourself? Is it wealth that matters? Is it wealth that will not be eaten up by moth, or stolen, or rusted, or be destroyed? Or is it wealth that will be destroyed one day, that you can't bring with you into the next? Now, as we think about this, it is important for us to know ourselves whether we are wretched or not. And if you have not been building up treasures that matters, treasures and wealth that counts before God, well, it is clear that you are not in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to the Lord's table, you are lacking. You are lacking in many ways. In particular, you are lacking in self-knowledge. Now, as we consider this morning, I want to encourage you with the Lord Jesus' word. All is not lost. If you were to honestly consider yourself before God, He is not out to declare this, to destroy us. but rather to encourage us to turn to Him. In fact, He said in verse 18, He offers His help freely. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Well, here the Lord Jesus Christ do not rebuke them harshly, but rather, He called to them, I advise you, take of my advice, come unto me to buy of gold, tried in the fire. You know, as we think about this, we are reminded of the Old Testament, when Isaiah 55 verse 1, well, the Lord declared this. Let me read to you. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Here the Lord Jesus Christ asking them to come as paupers, as poor people, without any means. And it is indeed, this is how all of us are in our spiritual poverty. We receive the richest thing from the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness and eternal life. And that it is to be bought without price. Not our price. It was paid for by the most precious thing, and that is Lord Jesus' precious blood, His life even. And it's freely offered to us. But He wants us to come boldly, especially for those of us who are in this state of shutting Jesus up, not in fellowship with Him, that we can turn to Lord Jesus so that we can once again return from that state of apathy to close relationship with Christ. And this morning, would you come boldly to ask of Him? Yeah, so that we can receive from Him gold tried by fire. Gold here is not just simply money, but here, very precious things or valuable things made of gold. But then it is tried by fire. There again, we are reminded of the faith as mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says this about faith. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So here again, you find that Jesus Christ is telling us to exercise faith afresh. Yes, you already trusted Jesus Christ once before when you turned to Him for salvation. But He wants us to continue in having that faith, in trusting Him, and that it is to be purified. Even though you may go through tribulations and problems, and you would come forth purer than gold, more precious, your faith more precious than gold. And you can receive this from Him. Faith. As you hear God's word, as you come to Him, God grants it to us. And so not only will we ask to come to receive this solution to our apathetic or indifferent condition, to receive faith, gold, precious, tried by fire, and that white raiment, we are to come buy of Christ white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. You find that only Jesus Christ can clothe us with His garment, the white robe of righteousness. Only Jesus Christ can cleanse us with His precious blood. And only He cleanses us, but He also clothes us with His righteousness. And this is what the eschatological saints would dress themselves in when they appear before God, the white robe as received from the Lord Jesus. In fact, Christ Himself is our robe. He is our full armor. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you be reminded this morning as we come to the table. And one final solution is to have this eye salve. And Jesus said that, "And anoint thy eye with eye salve that thou mayest see." So that our eyes will be open to see ourselves, that we have true knowledge. And as we come to Lord Jesus Christ to hear His word, to hear what He has to tell us and reveal to each of our hearts, we are enabled to see our wretched condition. You can come with all humility and to receive of Him and to have fellowship with Him as we partake of the Lord's table together this morning. And indeed, you find that as the Lord Jesus provided this condition, you would solve the condition of poor, blind and naked. Poor, blind and naked. And when you receive this solution, you find that wretchedness and miserableness would also disappear when you come before God and you receive all these things from Him. And thus Jesus Christ said very graciously in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Put on your zeal. Put away your apathy and be on fire for the things of God. And may God enable you to live with great confidence in this world. You know, you find that yourself, you're not zealous when you look at your life situation and you lament that if only, you know, I have the power, if only I can overcome this, if only all these wicked things will not happen. And that we lament that God's grace seems to be insufficient. Mark it down that you are in a state of apathy, of indifference. And as you realize this, you come boldly to Jesus to receive of Him so that you would have the riches, you would have the raiment, and you would have the eyesight so that you would be healed. And you need to come with zealousness in your heart and repent. And you can come into His holy presence to have fellowship with Him at the Lord's table. As we approach the Lord's table, let me remind you again, Jesus Christ is ever willing to sup with you, to have close fellowship and intimate sharing with you. But are you? If you are not, may I urge you to make use of this time now to come to Him with all zeal and repent, to receive from Him gold tried by fire, white raiment and eye salve, so that you can be healed and you can enter this joyous fellowship as we partake of the Lord's elements, the Lord's table and the elements together this morning. Shall we bow and come quietly before God? Remember that it is not I who judge you. It is the Lord Jesus Himself, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of creation. And may He speak to your heart. And as you honestly search your heart before Him, and if you hear His voice this morning, come boldly. Come with all confidence that He is ever ready to forgive, to heal, to cleanse, to strengthen, to bless you. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how grateful we are to be reminded this morning that Your grace and mercy is not just once off in our life. You've shown to us Your grace and mercy when Jesus Christ called us unto salvation. You've shown Your grace and Your mercy when You forgive us of our sins. cleanse us and reconcile us to yourself. And now you continue to show us your grace and mercy when we falter and fall along life's way. And you graciously call us unto yourself. And this morning, Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, to turn away from our indifference, from our pride and arrogance, from our self-deception, and come boldly to Thee. That we please, Lord, to grant us Thy grace, Thy knowledge, and Thy forgiveness, so that as we partake of the bread and the cup, Lord, you fill our hearts with your joy and your peace. And the Lord, you would enable us to face life in this world until you see fit to call us home, or you come and receive us unto yourself. Lord, as each and every heart here call upon Thee, well, I know that you would answer, you would bless. And we thank you and praise you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.